The Assembly will hear a statement by Her Excellency Kamla Persad Bisesar, Prime Minister of the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago. May I request the protocol to escort Her Excellency? I have great pleasure in welcoming the Prime Minister of the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago, Her Excellency Kamla Persad Bisesar, and I invite her to address the General Assembly.
Thank you very much, Mr. President, Secretary General, Excellencies, distinguished ladies and gentlemen. First, I want to offer thanks and congratulations to His Excellency John Ash of Antigua and Barbuda, who during his tenure as President laid the foundation and conditions for elaboration of a new development agenda geared towards influencing sustainable development of members of this Assembly. To you, Mr. President, congratulations on your election to preside over this 69th session of the UNGA. Sir, your election comes at a time when the global family faces very serious threats from the Ebola virus, as well as from what I call the terrorist virus, calling upon us all to marshal our human, financial, and other resources in a global partnership to combat these modern plagues. The election, sir, also comes as we are about to commence the second phase in the elaboration of the post-2015 development agenda. I am confident, as I'm sure we all are, that you will administer and lead with distinction. Today it is a privilege to share with you all our perspectives coming from the government of Trinidad and Tobago, our priorities for the delivery and implementation of a transformative post-2015 development agenda in accordance with the theme aptly selected by you, Mr. President. Last year, we considered how we would set the stage to begin the process to be launched during this 69th session on the finalization of the post-2015 development agenda. I noted then that with the adoption of the Millennium Declaration and the introduction of the MDGs, a new chapter had been opened for the United Nations. That chapter would see the UN position as a vehicle to assist developing countries, especially the most vulnerable, in their efforts to help reduce poverty and hunger and provide an enabling environment for states to develop their economies so that their people could rise out of persistent poverty. Measures must be put in place now to spur a proactive rather than reactive approach to the issue of development in this transformative post-2015 development agenda. With the experience of challenges and lessons from the past 14 years with the implementation of the MDGs, we are now at a critical juncture in putting into operation the elements we agreed to at Rio Plus 20 so that they can constitute the future we want. The current model was built on what we agreed to at the Millennium Summit, but in some ways has fallen short of the expectations of many developing countries. However, for the government and people of Trinidad and Tobago, we have been able to achieve this objective because it forms an integral part of our medium-term policy framework 2011. And so we incorporated and aligned the MDGs and their targets with Trinidad and Tobago's medium-term national priorities. Consequently, some of the goals, targets, and indicators were modified in the light of Trinidad and Tobago's unique development circumstances and achievement of several of the MDGs. This approach resulted in, for example, modified targets for education with the pursuit of universal early childhood education and a 60% participation rate at tertiary education. However, Excellencies, I'm very delighted to say that we have surpassed many of our own targets, as well as having surpassed some of the MDGs. And so we do have now in Trinidad and Tobago, we do have free primary school education, universal education. We do have free universal secondary education. And we, as I've said, we've surpassed our target of 60% in the tertiary sector. We have now surpassed that, and we are at 65% participation in the tertiary sector, that too being free education. I am also pleased to underscore that my country is well poised to achieve 70% of the 43 targets across 8 goals, which are considered to be relevant to the national context. This percentage comprises 42% of targets which have already been met and 28% which are likely to be met by 2015. And so we say, with good success and lessons learned, our work is therefore cut out for us. I turn now to share a few moments on CARICOM development. Trinidad and Tobago, Mr. President, as part of the regional community of the CARICOM and as part of the global community, we welcome the outcomes of the various milestones in the process that we have achieved to date. As a member of CARICOM, we were an active participant in the Open Working Group on the Sustainable Development Goals. We were therefore witnesses to the sweeping and unprecedented global participation and interest in that process and its outcome. As a collective effort, the crafting of the Sustainable Development Goals undoubtedly captured the spirit of openness, inclusiveness, partnership, all of which underpin this new phase of policy design and implementation. Along with the report of the Intergovernment Committee of Experts on Sustainable Development Financing, the 17 Sustainable Development Goals adopted in July of this year form a solid foundation. It is my respectful view that in delivering on and implementing a transformative post-2015 development agenda, we must and should prioritize key issues for this session of the UNGA. I would seek to identify 4 priorities in this regard. The first priority, I believe, is for us to renew our commitment to achieving the MDGs. Even in the 1 year left, we can advance our original objectives to a greater extent with more dedicated effort. As the MDG Gap Task Force report highlights, although progress has been made in some areas, gains must be accelerated, and a renewed effort is required in some areas to close the glaring gaps that continue to exist. Some of these gaps include, very important, access to affordable essential medicines in health, long-term debt sustainability, in particular for small states, as an essential element of the Global Partnership for Sustainable Development. Implementation will be a key measure of our commitment to the aspirations for the post-2015 development agenda. Priority 2, operationalizing the future we want. In the Rio 20 Plus 20 conference in 2012, we agreed on many of the foundation elements of the post-2015 development agenda. We now have, therefore, coming out of that, several key documents to further inform and guide us as to the way forward. We have, for example, the Secretary General's Global Sustainability Report. We have the Sustainable Development Goals. We have the report of the Intergovernmental Committee on Sustainable Financing, and we also have the outcomes of the structured dialogues on a specialized technology mechanism and the 10-year framework of programs on sustainable consumption and production. The future we want also outlines some key emerging challenges which we need to urgently address in the context of the post-2015 development agenda. Some of these issues, as you will recall, include non-communicable diseases, the increasing urgency to address climate change, and the imperative of addressing the needs of marginalized groups, including women, youth, children, of course, and persons living with disabilities. These building blocks of the future, we want to form the basis for the post-2015 development agenda. Together with the institutional support of the High-Level Political Forum on Sustainable Development, the Reform Economic and Social Council, and the United Nations Environment Assembly, we have a solid foundation for the fashioning of a global partnership in support of poverty eradication through sustainable development. We look forward to the synthesized report of the SG, which will place all of these elements in the context of a fully integrated post-2015 development agenda and give due consideration to the needs of countries in special situations, including small island developing states, least developed countries, and landlocked developing countries and Africa. As a specialized conference mandate in the future we want, the outcome document of the recently concluded third international conference on small island developing states, the Samoa Pathway, should also be appropriately addressed in the report of the SG. The third priority is for us to revitalize the global partnership in support of sustainable development. The report of the Intergovernmental Committee of Experts on Financing for Sustainable Development has highlighted that current financing and investment patterns will not deliver sustainable development. In fact, it goes on to say, and I quote, while design and implementation of policies will be on the national level, achieving sustainable development will require international support and cooperation. These are the core prerequisites for a global partnership in support of sustainable development. However, in order to make such a partnership meaningful, it is my respectful view that it must include, one, reform in the international financial institutions, targeting systemic failures and focusing on building resilience with sustained growth in open and vulnerable economies. And secondly, successful completion to the Doha round of trade negotiations, which will ensure that the rules of trade and commerce do not continue to operate so as to slow or impede or negate development gains and aspirations in our very small and vulnerable economies. I note that the third International Conference on Financing for Development is scheduled to take place in July 2015. This will be critically important for ensuring that a meaningful and effective global partnership for development will become a reality for the implementation of post-2015 development agenda. On the point of a revitalized global partnership in support of sustainable development, I wish to strongly reiterate the support of Trinidad and Tobago for an end to the economic embargo against Cuba. The perpetuation of these measures against a developing country undermines our collective aspirations for a post-2015 development agenda where no one should be left behind. Our fourth priority is for us to address the mitigation gap for achieving the below 2 degrees or 1.5 degrees Celsius target for limiting the increase in global greenhouse gas emissions and achieving an ambitious legally binding agreement on climate change in 2015 to be applied from 2020. This agreement should set the world on track to achieving carbon neutrality by 2070, and by so doing ensure that the global climate will support the sustainable development of present as well as future generations. Our collective action on climate change should take into account the survival of most vulnerable states, in particular, such as ours, small island developing states, as the front line of increasingly severe impacts of climate change. It should also be firmly rooted in the principle of common but differentiated responsibilities, recognizing the developing countries' finance needs for mitigation and adaptation to climate change cannot be met exclusively from domestic resources, given the competing demands on public finance. I believe every head of government, every head of state would recognize those competing interests in their own nation states. And so the early putting into force of the Green Climate Fund is therefore very essential. It is my hope that the partnerships and announcements made at the UN Climate Summit last Tuesday will serve to catalyze more ambitious action on climate change in the near as well as in the long term, and build the momentum necessary for a successful conference of the parties in Lima in December and in Paris in 2015. Mr. President, these are the elements of the global framework which should occupy our full attention and commitment over the course of this session of the UNGA. These elements will be supported by critical enabling actions at the regional and national levels. For us, in the context of the Caribbean community, we have been doing our part as a sub-region of small island and low-lying developing states to foster regional integration in support of the sustainable development of all our people. CARICOM heads of state and government have agreed on the vision of, and I quote, a Caribbean community that is integrated, inclusive and resilient, driven by knowledge, excellence, innovation and productivity. A community where every citizen is secure and has the opportunity to realize his or her potential with guaranteed human rights and social justice, and can contribute to and share in its economic, social and cultural prosperity. A community in which there is a unified and competitive force in the global arena, end of quote. This vision is the collective ambition of the member states of the CARICOM, agreed in the context of a strategic framework plan for the period 2015 to 19. This plan will come through the implementation of 6 integrated strategic priorities, which include building economic, social, environmental, and technological resilience through a coordinated foreign policy and research and development innovation. In support of the implementation of these 6 priorities, CARICOM heads of state and government have called for a post-2015 development agenda which will work in tandem with what we are discussing here in this 69th session, and these to focus on the eradication of poverty as a central pillar, the adopting a people-centered approach through an intergovernmentally agreed agenda, and an agenda which incorporates broader measures and appropriate approaches and criteria to complement GDP per capita as a measure of development. Importantly, these broader measures must foster an enabling global policy environment that is more conducive to the achievement of development objectives and affords greater policy coherence across institutions, including those in the areas of trade, finance, environment, and development. As I conclude, Mr. President, I say that these regional initiatives in support of advancing the sustainable development of the people of the community, the CARICOM community, are being designed and implemented in the context of a broader strategy for mitigating the vulnerability inherent in countries as small as and as open as ours. In a context of limited and narrow resource base, the focus is on nurturing and developing our human resources through an emphasis on innovation and entrepreneurship. It is an approach which focuses the full realization of human rights to development and in light a life of dignity. Consistent with this approach, I turn to another matter that is close to our hearts in the region. As we continue to advance the global cause of truth, justice, and reconciliation within the context of reparatory justice for the victims and descendants of the transatlantic slave trade, as a region, we are determined to engage in reparatory dialogue with the former slave-owning European nations in order to address the living legacies of those crimes. This is a critically vital element of the socio-economic development aspirations of our region, as the victims of these crimes and their descendants were left in a state of social, psychological, economic, and cultural deprivation. In addition, they have been left in a state of disenfranchisement that has ensured their suffering and debilitation today, and from which only reparatory action can alleviate their suffering. I say that sustainable development cannot be achieved in an environment where people are denied their basic rights to live free from fear, with daily deprivation of necessities of life due to the ravages of war and other types of instability. It is for these reasons, Mr. President, Trinidad and Tobago is concerned by the developments occurring in Ukraine and other parts of the globe, which has caused pain and suffering to hundreds of innocent victims. They too must be allowed to live freely. At the same time, we note with grave concern the continued failure to find a lasting solution to the decades-old Arab-Israeli conflict, which caused tremendous loss of life and destruction of property in the Gaza Strip and left emotional and psychological scars to those families who lost almost 2,000 of their loved ones. Trinidad and Tobago remains committed to the negotiation of the two-state solution as a preferred means to bring lasting peace to the region, so the people of Palestine, so long denied their rightful place in the international community, can live in larger freedom with their Israeli brothers and sisters. And so to this end, we call for the implementation of all relevant Security Council resolutions geared towards resolution of the conflict and the lifting of the illegal embargo imposed on the Palestinian people since 2005. Likewise, Mr. President, as co-sponsors of the UN Security Council resolution on threats to international peace and security caused by terrorists, we remain optimistic that that resolution adopted at Wednesday's summit would be the catalyst for greater international cooperation in the fight against terrorism. We have been in Trinidad and Tobago the victims of extremists in 1990 when there was an attempted coup against the duly elected government by terrorists and extremists. And so we will agree, as I've dubbed this new stream of terrorism taking place, I've dubbed it the terrorist virus because it is spreading throughout the global family. You will agree that terrorism has and continues to undermine the sovereignty, the territorial integrity and peace and security of the peoples of the Middle East and further afield. Members of this assembly will also recall that in my inaugural address to this body in September 2010, I indicated that the time was right for the adoption of a treaty to regulate international trade in conventional arms. It is now history that the Arms Trade Treaty has been adopted, and after yesterday's high-level treaty event, now has the requisite number of states parties for its entry into force, and that is likely to be on December 25th this year. We are very happy with that. Entry into force of the Arms Trade Treaty will require state parties to make important decisions to implement the provisions of the treaty at the first conference of state parties, which is likely to be convened by mid-2015. One of these decisions would be on the location of the Arms Trade Treaty Secretariat. Over 1 year ago, my country, Trinidad and Tobago, announced its candidature to have the Arms Trade Treaty Secretariat located in Port of Spain, Trinidad and Tobago. This bid has been endorsed by all CARICOM states, 14 of them, and has so far received the support from a number of states from diverse regions. The hosting of this very important body in a region which is disproportionately affected by the illicit trade in small arms and light weapons, and its association with other transboundary crimes such as drug trafficking, is a significant development. It will assist in the full and effective implementation of the treaty and contributed to reduction, if not elimination, of illegal weapons in the hands of criminals whose actions continue to threaten the sustainable development of our region. The government of Trinidad and Tobago is committed to providing the necessary resources to host the Secretariat, and we have transmitted this to all members of the United Nations. Once more, I call upon all those states who have not as yet announced their support for a candidature to do so, and to ensure that the principle of equitable geographic distribution in the location of major global bodies is observed. No country or region, in my respectful view, must continue to have a monopoly in hosting important institutions which are established for the benefit of all. Mr. President, Trinidad and Tobago is satisfied that among the 17 sustainable goals adopted by the General Assembly on December 10, 2014, Goal 3 is on ensuring healthy lives and promoting well-being for all ages. The health and well-being of our people is critical to ensuring productive lifestyles, which are critical to sustainable economic development, for growth, and for achieving the transformative post-2015 development agenda. Health and well-being is one of the 10 thematic areas of development identified by the government of Trinidad and Tobago. It may be recalled that CARICOM, of which we are a member, was largely responsible for calling the attention of the General Assembly to adopt a resolution to focus attention on the effects of non-communicable diseases, NCDs, as a major contributor to human mortality. Nevertheless, whilst we continue to make strides in tackling the incidence of NCDs, we are cognizant of the need to combat the spread of infectious diseases within our region and in different regions, threatening the survival of people in many nations. This resolution, which witnessed the unanimous support that of the Secretary General dealing with the Ebola virus, for which we congratulate Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, and which resolution we co-sponsored, this is where, as members, we pledge to take action at the global and regional levels to combat the spread of this disease, to supplement the UN mission for Ebola emergency response. Trinidad and Tobago remains committed to playing our part in eradicating infectious diseases, undermining the health and well-being of our people. It is for this reason, Mr. President, that prior to the passage of Resolution 2177 on the Ebola, as Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago, I wrote to the Secretary General of CARICOM requesting that we convene an emergency meeting of member states of our community to discuss and agree on sustainable policy responses at both the national and regional levels concerning public health issues, including chikungunya and the Ebola virus. Finally, Mr. President, you can be assured of the support of the government and people of Trinidad and Tobago in assisting the United Nations family in shaping a transformative post-2015 development agenda. Our support will come not only through our representation in the various organs of this global institution, but also by continuing to adopt policies at the national level which are geared towards putting people at the center of all development objectives. I say again, any development agenda which alienates the people or places people at the periphery and not placing people at the center will not bring sustainable development and will be doomed to failure. Such failure stands against the commitment we have all made and the purpose we serve at this conference. Mr. President, I say our work is cut out for all of us together in global partnership to achieve the goals that we have set ourselves. I thank you all very much.
On behalf of the General Assembly, I wish to thank the Prime Minister of the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago for the statement just made, and I request protocol to escort Her Excellency.